You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the Make Meaning Podcast. I'm Lynn Galodner, and I've dedicated my life to sharing stories of how people make meaning in their work and find purpose in their lives. On this podcast, we're going to talk about some of the great ideas and activities people do every day to make the world a better place and provide inspiration for others. So much of the meaning we find comes from interacting with great people, developing relationships that are mutually beneficial, and doing work that inspires everyone. I hope you'll be inspired by the people you meet here. We all need to find a way to make meaning in the mundane. Welcome back to the Make Meaning Podcast. With me today is Stephen Payne, also known as Farmer Steve, who's the resident farmer and garden teacher at Sacramento Waldorf School in California. He has a degree in business marketing from Central Connecticut State University and 10 years of experience in organic farming plus 5 years of experience as a market garden business owner. Steve came to Sac Waldorf in 2001, where he lives on the property, manages the farm, and teaches children of all ages and grades in a hands-on curriculum on a 3.5-acre farm that is part of a gorgeous campus. Thanks for joining us and welcome to the Make Meaning Podcast, Steve.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled you are available. I loved being out at your school. I loved walking along the farm and just the possibilities that I could see. I mean, I came home and I told my husband, I wish I could enroll. I'm a little old, but I wish I could, because it just seems like such a joy to expose children to the possibilities of working with the earth as part of their learning and their childhood. So I wonder if we could start our conversation with you sharing with our listeners how you came to farming in the first place. Take me back on that journey.
Sure. I had at one point decided that I wanted to work outdoors, be a little bit closer to physical labor that I'd always enjoyed in the past. Uh-huh. And I had a new resounding interest in healthy eating and was a bit concerned with the monocrop, conventional, commercial, agricultural of raising animals and the chemicals that are used in row crops on fruits and vegetables, and thought maybe I should give this a try.
Sure.
So it was an inner impulse that made me knock on a farmer's door just a few miles from my parents' home and ask for a job.
Wow. So what was that like? I mean, what kind of work did you start doing on the farm?
Well, it was interesting. Because it is a upstate New York farm about an hour from Manhattan.
Okay.
And they primarily focused on vegetable production with berries. And twice a week, we brought our produce down to the Green Market on 17th and Broadway at Union Square.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the first organic farmers to have started at that market. And that's the largest farmer's market at that time in the Manhattan area.
Wow, impressive. That's really fabulous.
And so one thing that was immediately rewarding is I felt like I was being exposed to so much learning that I had never experienced prior, that I could sense the tremendous growth going through just one season there in New York.
Yeah. So I know that there is a connection between Rudolf Steiner's teachings and writings and farming. I don't know what it is, and I'd like you to share with our listeners, in case they don't know what a Waldorf school is or who Rudolf Steiner was, what is that connection between farming and education? And then how does it play out at Sacramento Waldorf School?
Yeah, that's an interesting sort of beginning, birth. A gentleman, an Austrian gentleman, in the 18th century, early 1900s, was lecturing and educating in Europe and was approached by a private company after the end of World War I, and Germany was in a bit of disarray, and was asked to start a school for the company's employees.
Mm-hmm.
and he was happy to do so. He was well known in the area for his philosophy and educational lectures.
Uh-huh.
And he had just a couple of three main points that he requested to take on this endeavor.
Okay.
And so that was the beginning of the first Waldorf school in Stuttgart, Germany.
Do you know what those three points were?
Let's see. One point was the school was to be run by the teachers.
Okay.
And not by just a single or small body of administration.
Okay.
Or I think what he was doing was probably protecting the school from being run by corporate executives of the company.
Yeah.
Another point that he requested was that it was not closed to anyone. It had to be open and available for more than just the company's employees' children.
Okay.
So he wanted to make it an open sourced education for the community.
Okay.
And I might be forgetting
that's okay. That's all right.
Which I learned about this along the way. The way I came to all this was some of the other work that Rudolf Steiner did. He, being well known for his philosophies of nature and sustainability, he was also approached a little bit after that by a group of farmers in Europe and were concerned with the continual increased need for chemical fertilizers and pesticides, as they had bought into this new model of chemical agriculture.
Sure.
They were experiencing that yields were going down and pests were getting stronger. And so they recognized they were signing up for a continual treadmill of increased chemical inputs. And they asked, what can we do? How do we get back to having independency from this continual need for chemical inputs and resources?
Okay.
And so he gave a series of lectures to these farmers that outlined a sustainable approach to agriculture that looks at the farm as an identity. And then within that identity, being able to self-fertilize itself like a closed model, like a closed system.
Right.
Much like nature does on its own, say in the forest. The
sure.
forest floor provides the nutrients to the growth of the trees, and the biomass that comes down from them eventually then rots and re-fertilizes the forest floor.
Sure.
And with his series of lectures, he laid out a number of approaches that this could be regained on individual farms.
Sure. And that's what you're doing in Sacramento, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the birth and beginning of what's called biodynamic agriculture.
Excellent. So you work with kids day in, day out, while also managing a living farm with crops, with animals. You know, I know that every grade has a different purpose or task or engagement with the farm. How do you see engaging with these natural rhythms of the earth and nature really, you know, enhancing the children's education?
Well, it's a good 100 years later now.
Yeah.
I think what Rudolf Steiner was recognizing is that the model in the family was getting further away from living close to the land and children having the experiences of being active and physically productive to the needs of the family.
Sure.
And at that time, you know, and throughout much of our existence, children were sent away to school, away from the home and away from the farm, in order to learn how to think. Because the learning how to do was always a natural part of just being human and
sure.
growing up and surviving on this earth.
Sure.
And he was recognizing that the increase in the Industrial Revolution, the increase in population of urban settings, we were no longer, we were beginning to lose those opportunities and experiences of teaching how to do things. And with our education system, which has been strong and profound in teaching cognitive, intellectual concepts, it was now time for the schools to begin to adjust and bring these wider-ranging experiences for students to begin to use their hands.
Sure.
Like they used to, like we used to. And so I am thankful that the school that I work at, our model is a wide-ranging opportunity for students to experience plenty of indoor classroom time, but also plenty of time spent in the arts, using their hands and fashioning matter with tools. And then, of course, they get to come up and be with me in the garden and through the natural cycles of the earth, as well as the order and expectation that nature has in its natural laws. We are able to participate with plenty of experiences of tool use and hand coordination experiences.
Sure.
That I believe help the students begin to rebuild the experiences that bring problem-solving techniques alive.
Sure, sure. You mentioned also before the interview when you were speaking with Kirsten on my team that by studying nature, students, and I would extrapolate and say all people, can become more acquainted with their inner self and their inner voice in addition to that problem-solving, you know, skills. So tell me a little bit about that vision, about the inner voice and I completely agree with this, but I'd love to see how that plays out with some of the children. How do they recognize that inner voice that maybe they hadn't listened to before after time on the farm?
Yeah. I find it interesting that what Steiner was laying out was the need for education to be more than just learning in the head. And that we were now needing to round out experiences children would have with the ability to do. But when we talk about motivation and when we talk about inner drive or will forces, we are not talking about what we do on the outside. It takes that inner voice or that inner experience to motivate everyone to get up in the morning, to finish making breakfast, to clean their room or do their homework or just get themselves to work each and every day.
Yeah.
And so that inner voice actually is what propels us to activity. And it's that inner voice that I believe through experiences out on the farm with tools, in nature, that children are becoming more familiar with hearing their own inner drives, their own motivations. They may learn on the farm that farming isn't what they want to do. But they will also learn that they are hearing those feelings from within themselves. And that is the beginning of that inner voice. Being able to attach your emotional life to your work and problem solvings that are in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's through that conversation that we have internally that we can overcome all sorts of challenges.
It's interesting because it's really on the same lines of finding your purpose. And if you don't know yourself, you can't know what you're meant to do. So you have to have that time in, you know, away from all the distractions, just communing with nature and with yourself, not be afraid to listen to that voice to build the confidence that you have a path and you have to find that purpose and walk the path, you know?
I like to joke with some of my students. I ask them, do any of you talk to yourself? And, you know, of course, we get a little giggle and nobody wants to admit. And I assure them, I don't mean talk out loud, but do you listen to your intuition?
Yeah.
Do you listen to what you have to share with yourself? Because that is the beginning of problem-solving skills.
Yeah. And so before we end our conversation, I just wanted to go to one thing that you had said that really moved me. You said that it's amazing when we're not put in a box and are seen for who we are. And I couldn't agree more. And I feel like that's the beauty of a Waldorf education. You can't be anonymous. You are seen, you are heard, you matter. And I think that is so important, because if you don't know that you're important, that you matter to someone or in some community, that somebody notices you, that can be detrimental for a whole life. I mean, these are planting seeds, metaphor intended here, you know, that take root for better or for worse for the rest of their lives.
I personally, myself, have learned a tremendous amount by becoming a part of the school here. As I said, I came here through my love and experiences in agriculture, and was just excited to be able to bring that to school children, because I felt like I had learned so much just in that first year of farming.
Sure.
That everyone should have these experiences.
Yeah.
And what I found coming here, not having any knowledge of Waldorf education, not having this same sort of educational experience in my youth, I witnessed that the teachers that work here, the teachers involved in Waldorf education, are teachers that are very concerned with the individual.
Sure.
Seeing the student, not seeing the class as just numbers, but
right.
Everyone develops in a different route, in a different way, and at a different time. And I've learned through my colleagues here that by being able to see our students as individuals, we're able to help them meet that inner voice and that outer skill of being active and healthy, and that all important inner striving that helps them succeed in academics and beyond.
Absolutely. Well, I wish I could continue talking to you all day, but I'm going to have to wrap it up. So Farmer Steve, Stephen Payne from Sacramento Waldorf School, I'd really like to thank you for sharing your time and your wisdom and your journey with us on the Make Meaning podcast. And I want to wish you a really happy new year.
I appreciate the time to speak with you.
Great.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Make Meaning podcast. I'm Lynn Galadner, and I've really enjoyed being here with you today. You can find the Make Meaning podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and I'd love it if you'd share our great conversations with all your people so we can add meaning wherever we go and whatever we do.